Through this tape are made available the words of the world's greatest contemporary mystic, Osho. Thousands of his discourse tapes are available worldwide. Many, many people have been transformed through listening to them. This is an invitation to experience the vision of Osho. In this excerpt, Osho speaks on seven different layers of conditionings that surround our being and create a false personality.
Man's being is very simple, but his personality is not. The personality is very complex. The personality is like an onion. Many layers of conditioning, corruption, poisoning. Hidden behind many layers, what Sufis call filters, is man's simple being. But that simple being is behind so many filters, you cannot see it. And hidden behind these so many filters, you cannot see the world either. Because whatsoever reaches you, before it reaches, it is corrupted by the filters. Never anything reaches you as it is. You go on missing it. There are many interpreters in between. You see something, first your eyes falsify, your senses. Then your ideology, your religion, your society, your church, they falsify. Then your emotions, they falsify, and so on and so forth. By the time it reaches to you, it has almost nothing of the original, or so little that it makes no difference. You see something only if your filters allow it. And the filters don't allow much. Scientists say we see only 2% of reality. Only 2%. 98% is missed. When you are hearing to me, you will hear only the 2% that has been told, that has been said. 98 will be lost. And when the 98% is lost, the 2% is out of context. It is as if you have taken 2 pages from a novel at random, one from here, one from there. And then you start reconstructing the whole novel from these 2 pages. The 98 pages are missing. You have no inkling what they were. You don't know even that they were. You have only 2 pages and you reconstruct the whole novel again. This reconstruction is your invention. It is not discovery of truth. It is your imagination. And there is an inner necessity to fill the gaps. Whenever you see that 2 things are unrelated, the mind has an inner urgency to relate them. Otherwise, it feels very uneasy. So you invent a link. You fix those loose things with a link. You bridge them. And you go on inventing the world that is not there. Gurdjieff used to call these filters buffers. They protect you against reality. They protect your lies. They protect your dreams. They protect your projections. They don't allow you to come in contact with reality, because the very contact is going to be shattering, shocking. Man lives through lies. Friedrich Nietzsche is reported to have said that please don't take the lies away from humanity, otherwise man will not be possible to live. Man lives through lies. Don't take the fictions away. Don't destroy the myths. Don't tell the truth, because man cannot live by truth. And he is right about 99.9% people. But what kind of life can there be through lies? It will be a big lie itself. And what kind of happiness is possible through lies? There is no possibility. Hence, humanity is in misery. With truth is bliss. With lies, there is only misery and nothing else. But we go on protecting those lies. Those lies are comfortable. But they keep you protected against bliss, against truth, against God. Man is exactly like an onion. And the religion is the art of how to peel the onion and come to its innermost core. And what is the innermost core of an onion? Have you ever peeled an onion? You go on peeling one layer, and another, and so on and so forth. Then a point comes, the last layer is taken off, and only emptiness is left in your hand. That is fana. If you go on peeling your being, the last layer will be of being baka, and beyond that will be emptiness, fana. So you can think in this way. At the very innermost core, there is emptiness, pure sky, nothingness, fana. The first layer around fana is that of baka, individuality, what religions call the self, atman, the soul. But the soul is already a step away from your being. The self is already distant from your being. Buddha has the right word for it. He calls it anatta, no self. Your innermost being is a non-being. Nothing is there, or only nothing is. The first layer, the first fence that surrounds it is baka, individuality. This is true. This is your true and simple being. Non-being surrounded by being, defined by being. The real core is empty. But the emptiness has to be defined by something. Otherwise, there will be no division between you and anything else. So a thin, very thin layer of being divides you. But that being is also a circumference, not the center. At the center is fana, dissolution, disappearance. Even at the point of baka, individuality, you don't meet God. You still are there. Very little is left of you, but is still just a thin line. Even that has to disappear in fana, then you enter God. Start from the other end. Start peeling the onion. The first layer is made of corrupted physical senses. Never for a single moment think that your physical senses are as they should be. They are not. They have been trained. You see things, if your society allows you to see them. You hear things, if your society allows you to hear them. You touch, if your society allows you to touch. Man has lost many of his senses. For example, smell. Man has almost lost. Just see a dog and his capacity to smell. How sensitive is his nose? Man seems to be very poor. What has happened to man's nose? Why can't he smell so deeply as a dog or as a horse? The horse can smell from miles. The dog has immense memory about the smell. Man has no memory. Something is blocking the nose. Those who have been working deep into these layers say it is because of repression. Repression of the sex, that smell is lost. Physically, man is as sensitive as any other animal. But psychologically, his nose has been corrupted. Smell is one of the most sexual door into your body. It is through a smell that animals start feeling whether a male is in tune with the female or not. The smell is a subtle hint. When the female is ready to make love to the male, she releases a certain kind of a smell. Only through that the male understands that he is acceptable. If that smell is not released by the feminine sexual organism, the male moves away. He is not accepted. Man has desired it because it will be difficult to create so-called cultured society if your smell sense remains natural. You are moving on the road and a woman starts smelling and gives you a signal of acceptance. She is somebody else's wife. The husband is with her. The signal is there that you are acceptable. What you will do? It will be awkward, embarrassing. Your wife is walking with you and there is no smell by her body, and suddenly a man passes by and she gives the signal, and those are very unconscious signals. You cannot control them suddenly. Then you will become aware that she is interested in the other man, she is welcoming the other man. That will create trouble. So down the centuries, man has desired smell completely. it is not just accidental that in cultured countries much time is wasted to remove all kind of a smell from the body. The body odor has to be completely destroyed by deodorants, deodorant soaps. It has to be covered by layers of perfume, a strong perfume. These are all disguises. These are ways to avoid a reality that is still there. Because the smell is so much sexual, that's why we have destroyed the nose, utterly destroyed the nose. Even in language, you can see the difference. To see means one thing. To hear, one thing. But to smell means just the opposite. To see means capacity to see. But to smell does not mean this capacity to smell. It means that you are smelly. Even in language, the repression has entered. And the same has happened with other senses. You don't see people eye to eye. Or even if you see, then only for a few seconds. You don't see people, really you go on avoiding. If you see, it is thought to be offensive. Just remember, do you really see people, or you go on avoiding your eyes? Because if you don't avoid, then you may be able to see few things which the person is not willing to show. That is not good manners, to see something that he is not willing to show. So it is better to avoid. We listen to the words, we don't see to the face, because many times words and face are contradictory. He is saying one thing and he is showing another. By and by we have completely lost the sense of seeing the face, the eyes, the gestures. We only listen to the words. Just watch this and you will be surprised that people go on saying one thing and showing another, and nobody detects, because we have been trained not to look directly into the face. Or even if you look, the look is not that of awareness, not that of attention. It is empty. It is almost as if you are not looking. We hear sounds by choice. We don't hear all kinds of sounds. Just we choose. Whatsoever is useful, we hear. And to different societies and different countries, different things are valuable. For a man who lives in a primitive world, in a forest, in a jungle, he has a different kind of receptivity for sounds. He has to be continuously alert and aware of the animals. His life is in danger. You need not. You live in a cultured world where animals don't exist anymore and there is no fear. Your survival is not at stake. Your ears don't function perfectly. There is no need. Have you seen a hare or a deer? How attentive they are. How sensitive. Just a small sounds a dead leaf is stirred by the wind and the deer is alert. You would not have noticed it at all. And great music surrounds life, subtle music surrounds life, but we are absolutely unaware of it. There is great rhythm, but to feel it, you will need more alert ears, more alert eyes, more alert touch. So the first layer is of corrupted physical senses. We see only what we want to see. Our whole body mechanism is poisoned. Our body has been made rigid. We live in a kind of frozenness. We are cold, closed, unavailable. We are so afraid of life that we have killed all kinds of possibilities from where life can make a contact with us. People don't touch each other. They don't hold hands. They don't hug each other. And when you hold somebody's hand, you feel embarrassed, he feels embarrassed. Even if you hug somebody, it feels as if something wrong is happening. And you are in a hurry to get away from the other's body. Because the other's body can open you. The warmth of the other's body can open you. Even children are not allowed to hug their parents. There is great fear. And all fear is basically deep down rooted in the fear of sex. It is a taboo against sex. But our all senses are corrupted. We have not been allowed to be natural. Hence man has lost dignity, innocence, grace, elegance. This is the first layer. And because of all these repressions, the body has become non-orgasmic. There is no joy. It has happened both to man and woman, almost in the same way, but man has gone deeper into corruption than women. Because man is very perfectionist, neurotically perfectionist. Once he takes some idea, he tries to go to the very extreme of it. Women are more practical. Less perfectionistic, less neurotic, more earthly, more balanced, less intellectual, more intuitive. They have not gone to the very end. It is good that women have not gone to the same neurosis as men. That's why they still retain some dignity, some grace, some roundness of being, some poetry. But both have been corrupted by the society. Both have become harsh. Men more, women a little less, but the difference is only of degrees. Because of this layer, everything that enters in you has to pass this filter first. And this filter disturbs, destroys, interprets, manipulates, gives new colors of its own, projects, invents, and the reality becomes very garbage. When this layer disappears, and that is the whole effort of yoga, to make your body again alive, sensitive, young. To give your senses their maximum functioning, then one functions with no taboos around. Lucidity, grace, beauty, flow. Warmth arises again. Openness and growth happens. One is constantly new, young, and one is always on an adventure. Body becomes orgasmic. Joy surrounds you. Through joy, the first corruption disappears. Hence my insistence to be joyous, to be celebrating, to enjoy life, to accept body, not only accept, feel grateful that God has given you such a beautiful body, such a sensitive body, with so many doors to relate with reality, eyes and ears and nose and touch. Open all these windows and let life's breeze flow in. Let life's sun shine in. Learn to be more sensitive. Use every opportunity to be sensitive so that first filter is dropped. If you are sitting on the grass, then just don't go on pulling the grass and destroying it. I had to stop sitting on the lawn. Otherwise, I used to give darshan on the lawn, but people will go on destroying the grass. They will go on pulling the grass. I had to stop it. People are so violent, so unconsciously violent, they don't know what they are doing. And they were told again and again. But within minutes, they will forget. They are so restless. They don't know what they are doing. Just the grass is available to their restlessness. They start pulling it and destroying it. When you are sitting on the grass, close your eyes. Become the grass. Be grassy. Feel that you are grass. Feel the greenness of the grass. Feel the wetness of the grass. Feel the subtle smell that goes on being released by the grass. Feel the dewdrops on the grass. They are on you. Feel the sun rays playing on the grass. For a moment be lost into it. And you will have a new sense of your body. And do it in all kinds of situations. In a river, in a swimming pool, lying on the beach in the sun rays, looking at the moon in the night, lying down with closed eyes on the sand and feeling the sand. Millions of opportunities are there to make your body again alive, and only you can do it. Society has done its work of corruption. You will have to undo it. And once you start hearing, seeing, touching, smelling through joy, then you hear the reality, then you see the reality, then you smell the reality.